Hey, listen, are you thinking about buying tickets to your favorite sports, concert, or theater event? Maybe you want to experience a basketball game courtside rather than on your couch. Maybe you go to a hockey game and you bang on the glass instead of your own TV in your own living room. Then head on over to FanExchange.com for a safe, easy, and reliable experience. Tickets purchased on FanExchange are always guaranteed. There's no getting to the gate and worrying about getting in. So whether it's NBA, Major League Baseball, WrestleMania, Coachella, maybe a Broadway musical, FanExchange will get you closer to the action. Find the very best seats at the best prices at FanExchange.com. Use the promo code Rome, and you'll get 50% off the service fees on your next purchase. Fan Exchange. We have tickets. That's Fan Exchange. I told you our number one would be loaded, and it was. Andre Ingram, best story in the NBA. Joe Hawley, best story in the NFL. I can make that argument for both those guys. So that was our number one. We start our number two. I've got the new head basketball coach at Louisville, Chris Mack, coming up in about 35 minutes. So I've got time between now and then to bang some telephone calls. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios. I'm in Southern California. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Now is the time to call 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Started the program off by talking about how we are back in San Diego, live on 97.3. The Fan FM feels great. Judging from the reaction on Twitter, it sounds great. Hey, the jungle on FM sounds nice. Getting nice on the FM. I love it. On top of that, I talked about the Padres and the Rockies. You see brawls that are never really brawls in Major League Baseball? That was a brawl. That was legit. So we hit that last hour. I want to talk about the Yankees and Red Sox getting after it too. That's coming up a little bit later on. Let me just talk for a minute. And with respect to every other market that we're in, with respect to every other station we're on, with respect to the fact that we're simulcast on CBS Sports Network, with respect to the fact that Sirius XM carries the show as well. I mean, I'm grateful for all these things. It's awesome to be in the game as long as I've been in the game and still have all these opportunities. But I do need to talk about San Diego for a minute. San Diego is really, really important. Everybody is, but San Diego for a different type of reason. So, Alvin, if you don't mind, can I get a Deca freaking hell yeah, 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 yeah on a yeah, Thursday? Yeah. 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 Some of you are saying and thinking, damn, Rome, what's up? Have much coffee this morning? How many 5 hours did you slam? Why are you so hyped? The reason I'm so hyped is because of what I just mentioned, that we're still on the air in all these places, but I'm a little more hyped than usual. Yesterday on my Twitter feed, I made the announcement, the jungle returned to where the whole thing got started, San Diego, California. Simply put, Van Smack is back.
Finally!
Van Smack!
Who's coming back to San Diego?
Sounded just like that. Hey, listen, if you're not in the 619 or the 858 right now, roll with me for 1 second. Because if you know anything about this show, then you know where the show started. And you know how much that San Diego market means to me and this program. So when Intercom announced yesterday that the jungle was coming back to San Diego, after a few weeks of not being on in San Diego, I couldn't have been more hyped. Let me just say what's up and say welcome to 97.3 FM, The Fan in San Diego. So glad to be here. And a special shout out to everybody in the parent company and everybody at the radio station that worked so hard to make this thing happen. I could not be more pleased. And clones, I told you I would be back. I knew I'd be back. I didn't know it would happen quite that quickly. So thanks to everybody who made it happen quite that quickly. It feels great. Everybody who went to the mat to make that happen. Good to be back. But as you know, with this, you miss a little, then you miss a lot. And a lot has happened in the last several weeks since I've been away. So the same way I caught up 750 The Game up in Portland earlier this year, I need to bring 97.3 The Fan up to speed in San Diego. It was only a few weeks, but you missed a lot. So let me just run this down very, very quickly. Maybe the coolest thing to happen in the last few weeks happened 5 days after the incident in San Diego. A rap song written about me that was made 19 years ago was finally released and brought to our attention. The artists on this track are Killa the Hun, Straight Jacket, and Casanova. The producer is the late, great Keith Lonecker. Jim Bone, gonna bring it to your dome like Roy Jones. Bulldog in correspondence with the hotness. Don't even try it, son. I leave them tiresome. The life is one like MJ and Iverson. Out of the jungle comes a pimp in the box. Putting down smack that'll make you rock. So whether you're rolling in your car, at work, or at home, turn on your dad, who you hear? Jim Bone. Out of the jungle comes a pimp. Love that track. Love that track. It's so awesome. I mean, it sounds like it could have dropped today until you listen to all the references. They're all 20 years old. An amazing thing. San Diego, that went down 5 days after the incident went down in San Diego. So, quick shout out to the fellas who made that. And guys, maybe next time, don't wait 19 years to hit me with that kind of gold. Then, about a week later, on the podcast voicemail, some anonymous dude phoned in and dropped this hilarious Offspring parody that we really should be playing more often than we do.
Play it for me, Yumpy.
No, dude. No, dude.
Play it for me, Yumpy.
No, dude. No, dude.
Play it for me, Yumpy.
No, dude. No, dude.
And all the girls gonna say I'm pretty fly for a down guy.
Gotta be kidding me. One of the rare times where a parody and a voicemail are actually good and entertaining and make this show better, because that never happens. And, San Diego, if you thought that Rex in the ABQ had changed in the time since you last heard the show, he hasn't. And he proved it once again on March 9th when he made this very unfortunate and unforgettable call.
Speaking of Morton, I took the old lady there last week for our anniversary. Check came. I said, screw it. It's a big night. Let's get dessert. So I got the molten chocolate lava cake. Had to order a side of insulin with it, though, because I could feel the diabetes setting in. Anyway, on the ride home, something happened. I didn't feel well, and not 10 seconds later, I got the squirts.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Like I said, you miss a little, you miss a lot. Thanks, Rex. Thanks for deadpanning that call about you getting the squirts when you didn't get your insulin because of that chocolate lava cake that you had at Morton's. I can't wait for your next call, Rex. Thanks for making them, and thanks for living in Albuquerque. Miss a little, miss a lot. Rex. Yesterday, also, I made, yesterday, since you weren't here, you missed this, I made my Stone Cold pick, my deadlock NHL Stanley Cup pick. And since you missed it, San Diego, write this down today. You missed it yesterday, write it down right now. Smashville Preds. Now, you know I am never wrong, at least not about the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Take that to the bank. Some random notes to bring up to get you fully up to date. Dane Cook chunked up, and has got a 19-year-old girlfriend. There, I said it. You don't need to say anything about it. Albert Bell chunked up, got drunk at a spring training game, and exposed himself, allegedly. An XR, oh yeah, we still have the fat alarm, which we're not allowed to play, Alvin. Don't go there. An XR4TI staffer, no names mentioned, the pigeon, threw his back out, putting on a golf shoe, and has been going to a chiropractor and leaves work early on most days now because of that. After his wife said, do not go to the driving range. I want you to stay home. And he went anyway and threw his back out, putting on a shoe. Literally, a 30-year-old pigeon got hurt putting on his shoe. And also, while you were gone and the rest of us were still here, the world found out that Allen Iverson, in fact, lives in Charlotte.
What brings you to Charlotte?
I live here.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Okay. Man, it's good to see you, AI. What in the world brings you to Charlotte? My house.
I live here.
Welcome back to the jungle, San Diego. They say you don't know what you have until it's gone. But we both knew what we had. Let's be real about that. You knew, and I knew, and here's to not being gone ever again. Here's to 97.3 The Fan. Here's to San Diego, arguably the best freaking town in the world. And if it's not, Tell me one that's better. Sing it with me, San Diego. San Diego.
San Diego.
Carson City. Let's see. Go to Twitter. Mark B. in San Diego. He tweets, can you give Imperial Beach a shout out? Damn straight I can. Imperial Beach, what's cracking? Imperial Beach. Rob Thomas tweets, listening to the jungle on 97.3 live for the first time. Hey, talk to me. How does it sound in FM? On FM. Steven Baeza tweets, so stoked. Jim Rome is back on in San Diego. Me too, Steve-O. Me too. 1-800-636-8686. We can talk about that if you're a Padre fan. How about that brawl yesterday? Man, that was legit. That's not guys going out there for show. That's not guys coming off the bench because they have to. That was a case of guys looking to throw. And if those haymakers land, then there is real damage getting done. And again, I don't condone it. I'm not looking for anybody to get hurt. But that was a legitimate base brawl. Those two teams do not like each other. Both class teams, both class organizations, but they don't like each other. And I'm sure that is not the end of that. Let's go to the phones quickly. Got to go to San Diego, right? Rob in San Diego. Rob, great to have you on. Good morning. What's up?
King Jim, long time listener, first time caller, and I want to talk sports with you. Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I'm honored to be the first San Diego area clone, even though I'm a total amateur. And I live in Imperial Beach also, so I just want to represent San Diego and the new All Sports 97.3, the Fan.
My man, you got it, Rob. Great to hear your voice. Thank you very much. Good to have you back. Way to represent. And he's repping Imperial Beach. Hey, I don't care where you are in San Diego. Imperial Beach! How about Pacific Beach? Somebody actually emailed me earlier on PB. Let's see. Here it is. Jim, great to hear your pipes coming through the car stereo again this AM. Going to head to Rockies for lunch this afternoon in your honor. War Pacific Beach, Ben in PB. So Rockies is this amazing bar that was right across the street from the apartment complex that I moved into when I got my first big break in San Diego. Pacific Beach. Tell you what, man, that was 1990? If Rockies is still there, they're killing it. Shout out to everybody at Rockies. I should have appreciated you more while I was there. I took it for granted. I was on my grind. I so badly wanted to get the jungle going that I did not take advantage of one of the great bars and one of the great hamburgers ever. Freaking walking distance. Literally a half a block from where I lived. So big shout out. I got to make a pilgrimage back there. I really do. We should do a tour stop there. We should do something there. Smash a couple of beers. Ben in PB. Love Pacific Beach. All right, so in and above all that, I want to talk more about the Padres and the Rockies. Yankees and Red Sox I've not gotten to yet. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are underway. Look at the Penguins. Yeah, I'm well aware they are the back-to-back champs. I still have the Preds. However, the Penguins know better than anybody what time it is. Go time. You see them last night. You see the way they show up against Philadelphia. I've got thoughts on that matchup too. Russ Westbrook has heard everybody saying that you hog all the rebounds. You're padding stats. You're stealing rebounds from your teammates. Russ has heard it. Russ doesn't like it. I personally see Russ working. I know what the guy's doing. I'm well aware that Alden Smith blew a .40. I'm not here to make jokes about that. .40. Have you ever heard of anybody having a BAC anywhere near .4? Has anybody ever had a BAC near .4? Aren't you dead if you blow a .4? I'm not making jokes about this at all. I'm not making light of this in any way. My man's got serious, serious problems. And if this guy doesn't get help quickly, I mean quickly, he's going to kill himself or one of us. .40. How are you not dead or in a coma? But he was .40. I want to get to that. I mentioned the voicemail. The voicemail comes as part of our podcast. I did an amazing podcast, I thought, with Clint Malarchik, former NHLer. Speaking of San Diego, Clint talks about when he was in the IHL in San Diego and played for the San Diego Goals. But more than that, he talks about his battle with mental health issues. Great, great conversation. That's part of our Jim Rohn podcast, and I want to reset that. I meant to do it yesterday, but we ran out of time, so I've got that coming up too. All of that and Chris Mack coming up this hour. Quick timeout. Banging telephone calls. When we come back, I want to get into the Red Sox and the Yankees and what went down there yesterday. In the meantime, hit me up. 1-800-636-8686. Andre Ingram was amazing last hour. If you want to double back and talk about that interview, that works too. Quick timeout, and then we come right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
New basketball coach at Louisville, Chris Mack, coming up at 40 past. Meantime, let's talk some more baseball. To me, the only thing more surprising than a baseball fight yesterday were two baseball fights yesterday. Again, Padres-Rockies got that thing started in the daytime. Yankees-Red Sox got loose in the nighttime. Twice, a doubleheader of bench clearings in the night portion of a day-night doubleheader of fights. And just as the Padres-Rockies throwdown, just as the case there, the Yankees-Red Sox bout did not start with a guy getting hit by a pitch. It started before that. Let's go to the top of the third. Yankees DH, Tyler Austin on first. Tyler Wade at the plate, Alvy.
Tyler Wade, the left-handed hitting second baseman. He bunts it down the third base side successfully. Devers goes to second. They get the front side out there. And Brock Holt, looks like Brock Holt has taken exception to the slide of Austin. And now the benches are going to clear. As Austin and Holt got on each other's faces. Now the bullpens are emptying.
Been no pushing or shoving, but Holt normally doesn't react like that unless he felt something was amiss.
Now they've taken Tyler Austin out of there, and all the coaches has pushed him way off to the side. Well, this is Red Sox Yankees after all, rebooted here in 2018.
Oh yeah, he kicked them.
He went in with his left
right foot.
His
left foot hit the right foot or ankle of Holt. Brock was coming off the bag. He did get spiked.
Thanks to Red Sox Radio. Notice there was no drowning pool. No fight, no drowning pool. Red Sox second baseman Brock Holt did not like that slide. He let Austin know about it. Austin did not like being told, and then the bench is emptied. I mean, sort of. If there's no drowning pool, there's no fight. That was more of the classic baseball fight, in quotation marks. You know, somebody believing that there was a code violation, nobody really knowing if there was, and then a bunch of guys standing around bumping their gums. No fight, no drowning pool. Let's move ahead to the seventh. Red Sox reliever Joe Kelly is on the mound. Here's something you should know about Joe Kelly. He enters the game to the remix of that Walmart yodeling kid. Have you seen this kid? Have you heard that? So you know for a fact this guy is the real deal. You roll to the mound to yodeling, you instantly know that that is not a dude that you want to try. You know that. And sure enough, after getting the first out of the inning, Tyler Austin comes to the plate. Tyler Austin, meet Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly, Tyler Austin, let's get it on.
Now here's the 2-1. And it hit him. Austin slammed his bat on the ground. Now heads toward the mound.
I don't blame him.
And he's ready to swing. He and Kelly go down on the ground. Both benches empty. We have a brawl in Boston. And the brawl is going on. Austin had slid hard into Holt. And so Kelly hit him with a pitch. And Austin charged the mound.
Fight, drowning pool. That was a 97.7 mile per hour heater right to the elbow. Austin was pissed. And I'm not sure what was more impressive. Austin smashing his bat to the ground, or Joe Kelly standing on the mound and waving him out, saying, come on. Waving him out to the bump. I'm going to call it a tie. Except that tie was broken by Kelly, who landed a couple of glancing blows on Austin's dome. In the fight, Kelly v. Austin, I'm going to score that round 10-9. In the score of Kelly v. the world, his post-game comment is a 10-8 round. He said, quote, I mean, I was ready to defend myself. If someone comes on my property, in my backyard, I'm going to put up two dogs and get ready to defend myself, end quote. Look, I don't know if that's some sort of metaphor and he's referring to his fists as his dogs, or if he's saying something about a cookout and maybe offering up a couple of hot dogs because he's neighborly like that, or if that was just a statement of fact. In any case, I'm just not going to go in Joe Kelly's backyard, because Kelly will go. And it's not like Austin won't go either. He landed a shot on the Red Sox pitching coach. And this was not just a bunch of undercard fighters or clubbers either. CC Sabathia was in the mix, shoving guys to the ground. Aaron Judge had Kelly in a headlock at one point. Giancarlo Stanton was rushing in, which gave Boston's Brock Holt, the guy who had been on the wrong side of Austin's slide, a chance to think better of standing in and trading with those two monsters. He said, quote, "Yeah, I'm not trying to get involved with any of those guys. I mean, not just those two. They've got a pretty big team over there," end quote. He's right. They do have a pretty big team over there. And that was a pretty decent brawl. A decent brawl. But let's not get it twisted. That was not Pedro v. Zimmer. So don't even try to mention those two names in this context. Nothing will ever top a Hall of Fame pitcher heaving a 72-year-old bench coach to the ground by his head. And as always, to the question of who was in the right and who was in the wrong, the answer to this, unfortunately, is there's a whole lot of gray. Tyler Austin's slide on Holt, I'm not going to say that was dirty, but it wasn't clean. As Holt himself said, it was not intentional, but he, quote, "went in hard, a little late, with his spikes up." And that sounds about right. Now, does that justify a near triple-digit heater to the elbow? Probably not. And then there is the other cardinal rule of throwing at a guy. You get one chance. You get one chance. If you blow it, and it sure looked like Kelly was looking for Austin earlier in that at-bat, if you take that one shot and you blow it, you got to keep moving. If you're trying to intentionally hit a guy, you cannot try to intentionally hit a guy twice. That's the code. I didn't write the code, and the only people who understand the code are the guys who play the game at that level. But the code is still a part of baseball, and that's part of the code. Again, I am not in any way condoning violence on the field, although the next person who gets up to leave during a benches clearing brawl will be the first. I'm just saying, anything that makes these two teams hate each other even more than they already do is absolutely fine by me. I don't want anybody to get their face broken, but anything that keeps the AL East popping from now until October is tremendous. And as I said with the Padres and the Rockies, that fight did not end yesterday. They just went back to their respective corners for a minute break. And they will be standing in the middle of the ring again, trading haymakers before you know it. Two good brawls on the same day, and we're not even into the middle of April yet. Nowhere near the dog days of summer, nowhere near playing for anything that matters yet. And if I told you that I didn't like what I saw yesterday, I would be lying. And I love a dude that comes out and walks out to that. Man, I'd give anything to be able to yodel like that. The only thing better than that kid doing that is a major leaguer walking out to that. I wish I thought of it. Louisville head basketball coach Chris Mack joins us when we come back. And I'm looking for your telephone calls. Stay at it. What are your thoughts about any and all of that? And I'll hit the NHL playoffs too. I got takes for days, yo. Lots to cover. But first, a sports update. Bottom of the hour, here is the very latest for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Quick reminder, snoring is not sleeping. No, what snoring is it's disrespectful, it's offensive, you need to stop, and you can't stop by getting a Zepa. Make everybody happy. Zepa, 100% guaranteed to work, ZYPPAH.com. We are efforting Louisville head basketball coach Chris Mack. I will run him down momentarily. In the meantime, some reaction to a few things we've already done. This email just reads, wait for it. sign Robin Vancouver. Wait for it. Which leads me into my next email, which I'll read in a minute. This guy is always right on time. Always. He is new head basketball coach at Louisville, the 2016 National Coach of the Year, the 2018 Big East Coach of the Year. In 9 seasons at Xavier, 215-97 overall, he won or shared 3 regular season titles, led Xavier to the Sweet 16 4 times, and the Elite 8. Louisville was 22-14 last season. Chris Mack is my guest. Chris, it is great to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Jim?
Chris, I'm great. Boy, this is really something, right? I mean, because of the success that you had at Xavier, your name has come up for so many jobs, so many different times. I know for you to leave your alma mater, it had to be something truly special. Let me just jump right into it, Chris. What was it about Louisville that made you feel like this was that kind of an opportunity?
Well, I just think when you think of the history of Louisville and the great teams they've had over the years and, you know, so many incredibly talented players, it was just, for me, a very, very difficult decision to leave Xavier, but at the same time, one that I just had too much excitement for not to pass up. And really glad that I'm a part of the Louisville basketball tradition, and hopefully we can continue it forward.
You know, Chris, it's got that great tradition, but the fact is you are the 4th Louisville coach in the last 48 years, so that tells you an opportunity like that really does not come around very often. But to leaving Xavier, I mean, for you to leave Xavier and Cincinnati, where you and your family foundation had such a great impact, take me through that process. How tough a decision was that?
It's very difficult. You know, the fact that, you know, I wore the uniform at Xavier and I grew up in the city of Cincinnati, you know, it's obviously been home to me for the last 14 years, both as an assistant coach and as a head coach. So, as you mentioned before, you know, Louisville wasn't the first opportunity that came around. So, you know, there were a lot of opportunities I didn't feel, you know, could touch Xavier, and never really felt a need to go anywhere else. But, you know, when Louisville came calling and sat down and I talked to Vince Tyree, the athletic director, over the weekend, that I decided to become the head coach. For me and, you know, where I'm at in my life, this was the final step and really, really a great opportunity to be involved in one of the Blue Blood programs in all of America. I couldn't pass it up.
Louisville head basketball coach Chris Mack joins us. Louisville, Chris, obviously has been through a tough stretch involving NCAA investigations, sanctions, removal of banners, coach changes. I know if you had reservations about that, you would not have taken that job. But what kind of questions did you ask and what kind of conversations did you have about those matters?
Well, I had a lot of conversation with the athletic director, and, you know, certainly there's a little bit of unknown with all the stuff that's, you know, been happening, not just at Louisville, but all around the country, and, you know, has touched certain programs. But at the end of the day, Jim, the NCAA asked that the school, the university, make an exemplary effort to rid themselves of the problems that were created. And the fact is, Louisville fired their president, their athletic director, their head coach, 2 assistant coaches. And the player that was in question, Brian Bowen, was removed from campus 3 weeks, you know, after he arrived. So I feel like Louisville had made every intention to do what it needed to do. And so, again, my job isn't to play detective and figure out and tell everybody what happened in the past. I think that's been, you know, well documented and well publicized. I'm really excited about the future of Louisville basketball, and we're going to make this place special again.
We're talking to Chris Mack. And, of course, in the middle of all this, you've got the players and the fans, and they've been on that emotional roller coaster. So how do you go about helping them through that process? What's your approach there?
Well, I think, you know, for me, it starts with getting the former players involved, recognizing the history that's made this place so special, and, you know, putting a great product on the floor as quickly as we can. You know, I have 8 scholarship players from last year. They really provide me with a great nucleus and great group of core players. And, you know, I think we're going to hit the grad transfer market. And then in 2019 class, look to bring in some special talented players that want to be a part of Louisville basketball. So the quicker we can do things on the floor, I think the quicker the fan base can start to look forward and really get excited about our program.
Chris, and then in terms of the guys you already have, one of the things you've talked about is when you're meeting with your new players, you talk about the fact that they didn't necessarily choose you. You chose them. So how do you go about developing that relationship and building chemistry with guys that you yourself did not recruit?
Sure. I mean, it starts with trust. And I sort of joked with those guys in the very beginning, Jim, when you said they sort of didn't choose you. They didn't choose me out of high school. I mean, I recruited them pretty hard. And, you know, each one of them went the south from Cincinnati and went to Louisville. So I had to come follow them. And I think a lot of times when a head coach takes over a program, too much is made about, the old coach's players versus, when that new coach gets his type of player in. And I simply wanted the message to be and the understanding to be that you're my guys now. And I'm going to fight for you tooth and nail. I'm going to try to put you in the best position I can to be successful both on and off the floor. And, again, trust is built over time. But I told them my excitement level's through the roof to coach them. And I'm going to do the best job I can, from this day forward.
Louisville head coach Chris Mack, my guest. Now, the Big East has been extremely tough over the past few years, and it's not like it's going to get any easier now that you're in the ACC. So how excited are you, and how much are you looking forward to going up against guys like Coach K, Roy Williams, Jim Boeheim, Tony Bennett, Leonard Hamilton, Mike Bray, Buzz Williams, just to name a few?
Sure. I mean, your saw's going to have to be sharp. That's for sure. I look at it more about our players than I do about individual matchups between coaches. I mean, there are so many great coaches around this country and in all different leagues. But, I was fortunate enough to be a part of the ACC, back in 2004. And, when I was an assistant coach at Wake Forest under Skip Prosser. So even though the ACC has certainly added a lot of teams since then, I have a great feel for a majority of the league and have so much respect for the talent level. The tradition, the fan bases, the venues. So it's going to be a challenge, but I think it's one of the many reasons that our players came to Louisville.
Now, Chris, we talked about the players. Obviously, one of your first jobs was to get that staff together, and one of the guys you went to first was Dino Gaudio. He had a nice run in the media after he left coaching. You know how good of a job that is. How were you able to convince him to get back into the coaching grind?
Well, number one, I think he missed it. Number two, I think when you're a head coach, the most important decision you can make, Jim, is to, surround yourself with people that you trust, that will do a great job, that both with the players on your current team, future players that you're recruiting, and then the alums and the fan base that you touch every single day. And what better person could you have than a former head coach in the very league that you're in? At one point when I was a player a long time ago, Coach Gaudio was an assistant coach. Of mine, somebody I've looked up to for a long, long time. And I think the expertise that he's going to provide both on the bench and in individual instruction every single day, our players are going to really benefit. And so I'm excited to be reunited with him once again.
Now, Chris, when you're a head coach at Xavier or Louisville, you're a big deal. But at the same time, you're a husband and you're a father to a pair of girls and a son. So when you were at the Final Four and you were getting stopped by fans for autographs, what do your daughters, Lainey and Haley, make of that?
They think it's pretty funny. They don't understand why anybody wants, this bald guy's autograph. But, to them, man, they just see me as dad. And certainly, I get stopped from time to time, and they understand that comes with the territory. But they're going to be the biggest Louisville Cardinal fans this side of the Mississippi, so they're excited about it. They're just sort of used to it. It comes with the territory.
All right, so there's no way you come on this show and we don't talk about Braden. How much is he looking forward to life at the Yum Center?
Braden, I don't know how much he's looking forward to anything. He wakes up, he starts asking for a donut. We go on there to ice cream, and he's that three-year-old Jim that doesn't want to eat his vegetables before he eats ice cream. And, he's so daggone stubborn and gets his way. And, with our third, we start to let the rules slide a little bit, and his dad's sort of doing his job in Louisville, and mom's sort of, closing up shop here in northern Kentucky, and we're going to, they're going to live here until they're out of school. Braden's getting his way more and more, which could potentially be a problem here down the road.
I like it. Head basketball coach at Louisville, 2016 National Coach of the Year, and the 2018 Big East Coach of the Year, Chris Mack, my guest. Chris, great to get caught up. Congrats on that opportunity, and I know we will do it again soon.
Sounds good, Jim. Thanks for having me.
You got it, Chris. Thank you for doing it. Great to have you back. Chris Mack, head coach at Louisville. All right, Louisville fans, you got yourself your guy. That's the coach you want. 1-800-636-8686. He will grind out. His players will grind out. His staff will, too. That's a hard-nosed coach who coaches hard-nosed guys. That's the right guy. It's a tough spot now. Obviously, they've got some work to do, but he knows exactly what he signed up for. That guy goes in eyes wide open. He knows what he's getting into. And for him to leave his alma mater, where he had roots in that town, in that city, with that program, you know that he had to see a great opportunity in Louisville. Now we're open. Open phones the rest of the way. We've done all three interviews. We had Andre Ingram of the LA Lakers on in hour one. Joe Hawley also in hour number one. And there's Chris Mack. Let me set up hour number three. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. You definitely want to follow me on Twitter. Best tweets get read on the air. Exceptional tweets get turned around and retweeted. That's how you get a following. That's how you build your brand. Let me help you. I can do so. On top of the two brawls in Major League Baseball yesterday, Russell Westbrook again finishes the season averaging a triple-double a night. But all of a sudden, not everybody's happy to see that. Like last year when he was doing it, and nobody had done that since Oscar Robertson, it's like, God, this guy's amazing. What a freak. This year when he does it, all of a sudden the same folks are not saying, that's amazing, what a freak. They're saying, man, look at this guy patting his stats, ripping rebounds from his teammates. You mean the type of things he's always done? The type of things that you loved this guy for last year? Now you want to hate on this guy? You've got nothing better to do? Makes no sense. I'm going to hit that. Penguins picking up right where they left off last postseason. Putting it to Philly. I have that too. All right, so before the interview, I read an email which said, wait for it. That's it. Just wait for it. And then right after that email, this one comes in. Dear Rome, feel free to count me in the unimpressed camp when it comes to these baseball brawls. It's one punch, then a bunch of chumps jaybirding around like those kooks on Jersey Shore. Baseball has instituted a bunch of pace of play rules, but when it comes to these 5-minute brawls, these guys get all the time they want to act tough and show off for Dana White. Also, Jim, it's nice to have you back in San Diego, but I have to ask, when the news came down this week that you would be on 97.3 The Fan, was it really necessary for the XR4TI to speed down to San Diego to confront the old station at the weigh-in? Lil Alvey tossing a crowd control fence at their bus. Dave Whalen running on the bus to settle a score. And don't forget the wheel man, Adam Hawk, pulling around Alvey's minivan so they could get out of there fast. Sincerely, tap out branded baseball gloves. Asking your tax guy if you can write off a DUI. 5-year vintage Tinder profile pics, tactical coffee mugs, and Viagra blindness. War equalizers in the UFC, wore a bag of broken glass and crowd control fence being accidentally left ringside at Conor McGregor's next fight. That's one of Joaquin's best efforts. This dude's got such crazy game. Joaquin, I thought that well would have run dry years ago. Sincerely, Viagra blindness. Can you go blind from taking too much Viagra? How the hell would I know? As if I need that. Joaquin. There you go. For those of you who don't know, now you do know. Joaquin is all about weapons in the UFC. Something that I brought up finally. I tried to ignore that as long as I could. And finally, Dana White came on one day and I had to ask him, Dana, can you help me with this? Will you ever allow weapons? Let me just ask once, Dana, to put this thing to rest so Joaquin will stop emailing me. Will you ever allow weapons in the octagon for one of your fights? People urging me to ask you about whether or not there can be weapons in MMA.
Weapons in MMA.
You know, like maybe a bat, a
what
club,
kind of
a
lunatics
gun,
are
a knife.
Listening to this show?
can you put this to rest once and for all? Do you ever foresee a day whereby you will let your fighters get into the octagon with weapons?
Never, never. Feet and hands, elbows and knees. That's it. No weapons.
What kind of lunatics are listening to this show? I can answer that, Dana. The type of lunatics that, quote, have tap-out branded baseball gloves, the type of lunatics that ask their tax guy if they can write off a DUI, the type of lunatics that have a 5-year vintage Tinder profile pic, and the type of lunatics suffering from, quote, Viagra blindness. Me, I'm 2015 with respect to Viagra blindness. Hey, tax man, look, man, I don't want to get aggressive with you, but tax laws change every single year. Are you sure I can't write that DUI off? I don't want to get aggressive, man. Third hour coming up, and it's wide open. I can't wait to get there. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Great to be with you. Don't go anywhere.